All right. It's great to see everyone. Everyone got your Bibles. There they are. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 3 tonight. Now, I was been traveling a lot and I've been gone. And so I wasn't here when we went through Exodus chapter 1, Exodus chapter 2. And I got to listen to most of it. But because I wasn't here to be with you guys when we started this book, I want to take a few minutes just to, maybe this was already done, but for me, I needed to do it before I taught on it. I want to introduce the book a little bit. And so the book of Exodus, we know is the second book in what's called the Pentateuch, or the Torah in the Hebrew Bible. Now, it forms part of what we as Christians now would say or call the Old Testament. Now, like other books in the Old Testament, the Torah, especially the Torah, let's just go with that for now. It was written, we know, by Moses. There's some that disagree with that, and they're wrong. This was written by Moses. I was actually researching it quite a bit today and yesterday, and man, there's some crazy stuff out there. This was written by Moses, authored by Jesus, all right, by the Holy Spirit. Now, God chose, we know, to meet with Moses, and it instructed him, we know, right, even face to face. And after that meeting, it says in Exodus 24:4, it says, Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. And that's what we have in our hands today, which is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, Exodus continues. It's a story, a continuation, right? It picks right up where Genesis left off. Abraham's grandson Jacob and his family of 70 had made their way to Egypt, where Joseph, one of Jacob's sons, had been elevated to the second in command over Egypt. So the family then lived there and they grew in Egypt. It was a safe haven for them and their family and the people for many, many years. Now, after several hundred years, some time has passed, and we pick up the book of Exodus. Now, it's interesting, the word Exodus, it actually refers to a major event that's going to take place that we're going to study in this book of Exodus. Israel's Exodus from Egypt. Now, in the second part, we're going to see what takes place at Mount Sinai, which we'll get to later. But the first half is really about that Exodus. Now, in chapter 1 of Exodus, again, I did a lot of review because I had to catch up. In Exodus 1, we learned of Israel's bondage in Egypt, right? We learned about that. Pharaoh, the Pharaoh at the time, not the same Pharaoh as before, not with Joseph, right? New Pharaoh, many hundreds of years later, now is greatly concerned as the Jewish people were multiplying rapidly. The Jewish people then were very mistreated, and life had become miserable for them, to put it simply. Pharaoh then began to kill and having the Jewish boys killed at birth, trying to control their population. Pharaoh then even was deceived, though, we read, right? He was deceived about what was taking place there, and then he had all the male babies drowned in the Nile. Then in chapter 2, we learn of Moses, his birth, his rescue, and then what we see is his upbringing or the training that God had in store for him. Moses, we know, was saved from being drowned, right? And he was rescued into this princess's family, becoming really in that inner circle under the Pharaoh. He was then, we know, prepared by God with that Egyptian education and that upbringing that would be needed later in his life. And then came to a point that he tried to help his people, his fellow Jewish brothers and sisters, which he knew he was Jewish, and he failed. It didn't go well. This resulted in Moses, right, being an outcast, going on the run. And then we know, as we're going to get into more today, but becoming a shepherd for 40 years. But we'll get more into that today. So today we're going to begin what's really called the calling or the vision of Moses in chapter 3. So if you got your Bibles out, let's pray, and then we'll begin in chapter 3. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this amazing opportunity to be here tonight, Lord, just to study through your Old Testament, Lord, just to see the writings, Lord, that have been passed on to us through you, through Moses' hand, but through your Spirit. Lord, as we look at these, they're so amazingly applicable to our lives today. They're amazing instruction and encouragement for all of us today. Lord, I just pray that each one of us, Lord, as we came in tonight, Lord, we rushed in here, Lord, we took that time, Lord, to set, just come and sit at your feet, Lord, to sit at your cross. Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we sit here now to dig into your word, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just move. And Lord, you would just quiet each one of us, Lord, that we would just, all the distractions, Lord, would just be set aside right now. Our attention would be on the teaching of your word and the study of your word. And Lord, we just want to hear from you. We don't want to hear from me. We don't want to care what I've wrote down on this iPad. Lord, we want to hear from you. So Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, you just move in this place, Lord, and your presence would just be outpoured here. You just use this time, Lord, to minister to each one of us through the teaching of your word. And all God's people said, amen. So let's begin. Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at the first three verses. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Through the bush was engulfed in flames. It didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." So now years really have passed as we pick up this story again. And Moses' life was very, very different. As we pick up again, Moses, remember, had gone from really being a prince in the Pharaoh's household to a shepherd of another man's flock. Not just a shepherd. These weren't even his flocks. He was a hired hand at best. Now Moses is in there in the desert, and he's going to have a vision. He's going to see a vision. Yet, as he's looking and seeing this burning bush, he didn't really understand completely at the time what he was seeing. He didn't comprehend what was going on. But then, as he seen this and he wondered, he then positioned himself to go and to maybe understand what was taking place. Now, at first we see he was amazed. I think that would be most of our response. What is this? You'd be amazed, looking, wondering, questioning. Now, he was also confused of what he was seeing. It didn't quite make sense to him, right? These are real stories in the Bible. This is how we would respond. Like, what is going on? It would be confusing. This fire itself in a burning bush wasn't abnormal. It could have been a lightning strike, something could have happened. That wasn't what was confusing to him. What was amazing is that the bush wasn't burning up. The fire wasn't consuming the bush. Let me put it that way to help, perhaps. Well, here's my question. You guys know a lot when I teach, I have questions. Have any of you had a vision from God? Any of you had a vision from God? Now, I think there's different forms of that, right? There's different definitions of that, but we'll get there. But have you had a vision? Yes, I have. I've had many visions in many forms, too. Not in the form of a burning bush. Never seen a burning bush. And God, very often, as we know, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, acts in different ways each time as he reveals his miraculous ways to all of us. But we all need vision, right? In one form or another. We need vision from God to know what God wants from us. We need vision from God to know what God would ask of us, our calling. Now, how do we seek to have this vision from God? How do you seek to have a vision, a revelation from God? Moses wasn't necessarily seeking this, obviously. But is there a way today that we can position ourselves to hear a vision from God? Can you position yourself in some which ways to hear from God. Yes? No? Yes and no? I think it's a yes and no, and a yes and a no. We're going to get into that. So the question is, I'm going to say yes, all right? But there are some no's also, because people go way too far on a lot of this. But the question I got for you now, if you've heard from God, if you've had a vision, my question is, are you positioned here today, sitting here today, are you positioned to hear from God? There's disqualifiers, isn't there? There's things we should be doing if we want to hear from God. I'll give you the first one. It's real easy. Read your Bible, right? But we're going to get even deeper into this, right? Now, I studied Guzik's commentary, and I liked his message so much, I'm just going to be forefront. I stole his main points, just to be very upfront and honest. He had 7 main points, and I stole them, plagiarized them, which is okay. But I just could, I'm like, this is awesome. He did such a good outline. So the rest of the sermons, it's all me, but hopefully the Lord actually. But I did steal his 7 main points because I saw his outline and I'm like, wow, that was awesome. And so I just want to be clear of that. So we're going to look at this story and we're going to see 7 different qualities that we can have to be situated or positioned to hear a vision from the Lord. Okay, 7 qualities to position ourselves to hear a vision from the Lord. Now realize, when I say vision, that doesn't mean necessarily a burning bush or something. Vision is broad. It's a broad statement. So you could read and have a vision and say, wow, God's called me here. It doesn't mean you have to have a visual, right? It could be a calling. I'm going to put it at that. So the first one I see, if you were taking notes, is always great, is humility. The first quality to have a vision from the Lord is humility. Now, how old is Moses now? 80 years old. The old man. He's almost there. He's been in the desert. We've been talking about shepherding another man's flock in the desert for almost 40 years. It's a long time. Any pride, which we've seen previous, he had some pride. He's going to go out there, right? Any pride is long gone, been left in the desert over the last 40 years. There's no question in my mind. Everything he thought he was or was not is long gone in that man's life. Now, God has done this to him. He's humbled Moses. He has now made Moses into the man that would be used by him greatly. And he's a humble man. Now, just in these verses, these first 3 verses, I see another quality that we see. What was he doing when God has brought this vision? What was he doing? He was serving as a shepherd. He was providing care for someone else's flock. That's pretty amazing. Again, I stole these 7 serving humility from Guzik. He was serving his family, as I'm sure also he was awaiting to hear from God. It's such a picture for each one of us. We also must be humble, serving the church as we await to hear from God and what vision he would have for us. It's a great picture. So let's continue. Let's look at the next few verses, 4-6. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Don't come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. 6. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses now has drawn nearer to God as he was called by God by his name, not once, but twice. Why has God called him twice? I mean, I think about it as a parent. When I call my kids in a general conversation, it's like I just say the name of one of my children. But when I really want their attention, I want them to come, I often would repeat their names as those that are parents. Maybe you'd use their middle name too. I don't know. But God had got his attention. And God knew and saw Moses' response as he came closer to God. He then was there, positioned before God, humbly serving, positioned to hear from God. All the other distractions that Moses may have had at this time now were gone. I mean, we can see that. His focus was on hearing from God. He was positioned to hear from God. And I'm sure the thing that Moses only concerned was his response, right? Here I am. If we each will seek to come closer to God and to hear clearly from him, I think we all need to remove these worldly distractions that can come in our way. We must be attentive. And that's the next point. If we want to hear a vision from God, we must be attentive to hear from him. Often, I'm so guilty of this, and everyone that knows me, I'm trying to hear from the Lord. I want to hear a vision. I want to hear a calling. And yet, I got my phone out. I'm checking it. I got my multiple screens in my computer going. I got texts going, emails going, the news channel going. I'm thinking about the 13,000 other things I should maybe be doing, right? My attentiveness is not there. If we want to hear from God and the vision for us, we need to be attentive to be hearing from him. Now, there's many ways we can do that. Shut your phone off. I mean, we live in a modern society, right? Maybe you have a quiet prayer time space to go to, a prayer closet. That's a good idea. Maybe for me, now this is just me. This is only me. I know that I need to take care of the things right around me because otherwise I can't focus because I'll be looking at things that need to be done. I'm not saying that's for everyone, but I think each of us can find out what we need to be attentive to hear from God. And that's removing distractions that will come in the way and distract us from hearing. Moses' attention was on God. Here I am. I want to hear from you. Moses was in a place to hear from God. He was listening. That's the next one. Listening. I mean, we always hear things, but are we listening? Such a difference. There's such a difference to truly be listening for God's still small voice to reveal some truth to us. Because there's a lot of noise in our world around us. A lot of other things that we hear. So we need to be listening. Now, as we draw closer to God, each and every day, we do this through prayer. We do this through being in the Word. We do this through fellowship. But what things are taking your attention? What are you listening to? And are you willing really... You know, another one I thought of, but listen, are you really willing to hear from God? Because sometimes I don't always like to hear what he's got to say. Do you really want to hear from God? Because a lot of times when we pray, Lord, reveal any sin in my life. You really want to hear what he's got to say? Maybe not. Are you really listening? Moses was standing before God, focused. Here I am. Again, attentive, another one, and he was listening. Now, it's interesting that God told Moses here in these passages to stop, not to come any closer, and then to remove his sandals. We read this, it's very popular scripture, we've read it before, we see it other places in the Word. And there's many scholars and theologians that comes up with all these reasons, right? And I'm going to give you some of them. We don't know. Exactly on some of it, right? We don't know. But I think there was obviously a real reason because God commanded it, right? But we see this in many places. Moses removing his sandals before he came in the presence, we do know that it does demonstrate something. It demonstrates obedience to God's call. He had to act physically and do something before God. Matthew Henry, I don't know if any of you know of Matthew Henry, a few of you maybe, old-time commentator. He says, putting off the shoe was a token of respect and submission. I see it in some Myanmar cultures today that you go onto their stage and you are not allowed to wear shoes. We don't do that here, but you see it even in cultures today. Even on entering people's houses, it's seen as a sign of respect not to take the things that you've brought from the world into their home. I see this as the same. It's a picture. Not to take the things of the world into the presence and your time with God when you want to hear from Him. Some scholars say that removing, again, your shoes signifies putting off the earthly or profane things of the world as you approach the Holy One, they say. The Old Testament priest did it when they entered the sanctuary. I didn't know that. Removing his shoes, another commentator says, signaled a forfeiting of comforts and rights, a willingness to surrender his past, present, and future to the God who equips. So many reasons here. What is for sure that we do see here that Moses was obedient to God's instruction and did as he was asked. And this is a quality to receive a vision from God. Obedience. Obedience is another quality. Because if you want to hear from God, you need to be obedient to what he's asking you to do right now, today, in the moment. If you're not going to be obedient to the smallest things, how do you expect to hear a greater vision? We need to be obedient. So God, we see here, then continues in the passages in affirming who he is. And I see as he affirms who he is to Moses, it brings even more obedience, but more, not really obedience, but a reverence, a fear of God. So now there's obedience, but there's a reverence or a fear of knowing that he was in the very presence of God. And I know this would also brought repentance. Because there's no way you could not have been in the presence of God and have a heart of repentance. So what I see is another quality is fear of the Lord. If you want to hear from God, you need to have reverence. You need to have fear of God. Again, that's fear not in the sense of just knowing who you are and who he is. Not a bad thing. So let's continue. Let's look at 7 through 10. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. As I read this, I saw assurance. Assurance that God sees and knows all things. Every one of our cries, he hears. We see that. He's aware of every single thing that each one of us is going through. He knows. He's not blind or he doesn't have a deaf ear to our cries and our prayers. Every single thing that we're walking through, he knows, he hears. He heard these people's cries. He hears our cries. But then he has a promise for them and a promise for every single one of us. He will deliver us each and all from this suffering one day. It's amazing. The vision has been given. God was going to do an amazing thing and free his people. But looking at these verses, what else do we read? Look again at verse 10. What do you see there? Now go, for I am sending who? You. God is going to use Moses
to free His people. We know that it would be God who would do all the work. But who does God use to accomplish His will? All of you. The church. He uses people. Flawed people. He calls each one of us. He calls you. Just as He's called Moses. God's word, His promises are brought to the world, the enslaved, the lost. They're brought to them by us. Are you ready? Where is God leading you? Again, I ask, what vision has God given each of you? What people or place has God called you to go and lead them out of their bondage to sin? God called Moses to go and lead them out of their enslavement to the Egyptians. God has called every one of you in some form or another, and will call you if He hasn't, to go and lead and share the gospel of the good and share the good news to lead people out of their sinful ways and into the promises that Jesus has for every one of us. As you think about this, about your response, about Moses' response, let's see what he's got to say in 11 and 12. But, I bet you said it that way. But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship the God at this very mountain," which we're going to see later in Exodus. We're not going to get into that tonight, though. I love this, Moses. Who am I? You ever said that? Who am I? Anyone? Have you ever said this? Questioning your calling? Who am I? Moses was humble. He knew he was a nobody at this point. 40 years ago, he thought he was somebody. We saw how that turned out for him. Didn't turn out too well for him. Again, have you ever had a vision or saw a calling or a command in the scripture and just said, "Who am I?" Ready for the answer? Who are you? Who are you? Who am I? You ready? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter. Period. I don't care who you are. Doesn't matter who I am. You know why? Because of who God is. Because who God is, it doesn't matter who we are. God will be with you. He says that in this very scripture. He will go with you. God will equip you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, people will be freed. That's what we see here. And then he says, then they will worship Him for what He has done. Do we see that? Do you have any doubts? Moses did. Moses had a lot of doubts. But it wasn't about Moses. It was about God. It's about who He is. God will be with you. Let's see. Look at verses 13 and 15. What's going to happen next? But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is His name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations.'" So Moses had some reservations. He didn't go quick. But he then came back and he asked. He asked, "By whose name? Who am I?" We're nobody. "But by whose name will I go out? By whose name will I fulfill this calling? By whose name will I go on this vision? By whose authority are we sent?" Do you guys know what authority? I think you all know. What name have you been given? A calling, a vision. God says, "I am who I am. Now, this is very profound, right? But, I mean, you think about it. I am who I am. What does that mean? I mean, when you read it, it's like, what does that mean? Honestly, if you just read it, like, kind of strange sounding. I am who I am. But it's very interesting when you dig deeper and start looking at it. And I think you could probably do a whole Bible study on this. But it's really profound. God is saying that there is no equal to him. There is no comparison. There's no basis to compare anything to him. Because he is God. He is the one that's outside of space. The one who is outside of time. He's the one that's all-knowing. He's the one that's all-powerful. He's the one who has created everything into known existence, from the heavens and the stars to each one of us, giving us life. He is the one that is present in all ways. He is, as it says, I am who I am. There's no comparison. There's no equal. There's no way to define who God is except these qualities that we see here in a sense and through his word. But it's amazing when you think about it. The one who has sent Moses is spoken to Moses in this vision, and the same one who has spoke to each one of us. This brings me to my last quality of hearing from God or having a vision, and that's to know God. Now, when I say know God, I'm saying to understand the best our minds can comprehend the I am. Where is that vision from? Who has called you? By what authority have you been given this vision? I think it's important that it's in his name that we are sent as his children. We need to know who God is and know who we are in God. When we get a vision, we need to know where that's from. Let's finish up. Let's look at a big chunk of scripture now, 16 through 22. Now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, I've been watching closely and I see how the Egyptians are treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression of Egypt. I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. The elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt and tell him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please, let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness and offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. So I will raise my hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at the last, he will let you go, and I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. They will give you gifts when you go, so you will not leave empty-handed. Every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver and gold and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from their foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth. So God then gives this plan, the continuation of this vision of how Moses should proceed and what God was going to do and all that's going to take place as God would will. God then speaks even, he continues as this, and he looks at talks about the blessings that we've seen that will come as they will be freed from this bondage that they've endured. You know, in closing, as I look at this, each and every one of us have a vision that God has called us to accomplish, has a calling. Now Moses, he shows us an amazing example of a man that was going to be used greatly by God, a very imperfect man, that God had a vision for him, and he was going to use him. He was a humble man at the time. He was one who was serving. He was one that was attentive to hear from God. He was obedient. He feared God, and he knew God. Now, what's interesting is what God doesn't tell Moses about the vision. How is this true for us? Looking back at the callings and the visions that God's gave me. There's many things that God has shown me that he would have me do. But there's many things when I was given these visions that he didn't tell me. He didn't tell Moses a lot of things. What didn't he tell Moses? Didn't tell me he wasn't going to enter the promised land. That just gets a start. Didn't tell him about all the problems he was going to have, did he? I don't think that's what Moses was thinking about when he was thinking about freeing his people from Egypt. Looking back, he also really, at this point, doesn't give the timing either, does he? I don't think that's what Moses was expecting, what we're going to read later, right? He didn't give the timing. He gave the vision. He didn't give the timing. He asked for obedience in the moment and to act and take that next step. He doesn't always give us the timing, does he? He asks you to take that next step and be faithful. Moses didn't know what it was going to cost him, did he? It cost him a lot. A whole lot. We're going to see that. He didn't know how hard it would be, the hardships. He thought it was hard being a shepherd in the desert. Little did he know what's coming his way. And you know what? As I look at this in my own life, as I look at the timing, the cost, the hardships, it's still going. Right? More things each and every day are being revealed. That's okay. God knows what we need to know at the time. Because if he told us it all, we'd probably like collapse. We wouldn't be able to handle it. Moses, I'm sure if he told Moses what was going to take place, he'd ask him some questions. He definitely would be asking him some questions, especially in the end when he doesn't even get to enter the promised land. I hope that's not true for me. As far as I know, I'm going to heaven. Don't mistake what I said there. It's interesting, though, as I do believe that God has called us to plant churches here in all of Asia and be part of that. But I also know that that might not be me, right? He told me to take these steps thus far. The next steps might be someone else. I don't know. But I'm just faithful for what he's called me for today. And as I face the different hardships, I do have promises. Right? He did give them promises, right? Which is beautiful because we do all have that promise. We know how this is all going to work out. We're going to be with Jesus. He also promised to take care of them. In all that they faced, God was there the entire time. He heard their cries. It's assuring to me. Let me close in prayer. And tonight, as we sit around, we're going to fellowship together. We're going to have another song in worship, but you guys can head on up if you want. But as we sit around the table tonight and eat, I'd love to hear from some of you, and you guys talk amongst yourself. What vision has God called you to? What vision has God called you to? How has God revolved? Maybe we looked at these seven qualities. Maybe in these seven qualities, you're struggling in one of these areas. I mean, I do. My first one I see, I think I'm fairly obedient, but my attentiveness, oh boy, I'm a squirrel. I tried to sit down and pray, and I'm changing light bulbs downstairs in 10 minutes or fixing a water filter. My attentiveness to hear from God needs to be worked on. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time in your word. I just love studying your word, Lord. I just love to see, Lord, how these stories are so applicable to us. Lord, as we see these, you love us, Lord. And you've given us your word to show us, Lord, how we can be used, Lord. You've given us vision. You've given us calling. You've given us purpose, Lord. And you've given us all the tools that we need to accomplish these things. Lord, we know it's not about us. It's about you. None of us are qualified. None of us are capable, but you are. You are the one who took Moses and led your people out of slavery and out of bondage. It's you who uses each one of us just completely unqualified, but qualified through your blood, qualified through your resurrection, qualified through your empowering of your Holy Spirit to go out and lead the lost out of darkness, to lead them to the truth of the gospel and who you are. So Lord, I pray and I thank you. And Lord, let us always remember and know you. It's you. It's about you. It's not about us. In Jesus' name, amen.